For the night is past, declares the Lord, and the day is now dawning again. It's dawning again in my church. It's dawning again in my people, declares God. For the night has nothing to do with the virus. It has to do with the oppression against my people. The night of the virus is when my people drew into their houses, and I'm declaring it is now time to come out into the light. It is morning. The light has come, and we will continue to walk by faith. We will continue to walk in the Word of God because the light has come. Pentecost is on its way. Pentecost is the day of the giving of revelation. Pentecost is the time when my people will begin to understand, and they will begin to look not only to the past of what I have brought them through, but Pentecost will be that time when you begin to see the future of what I am preparing you to enter into, declares God. And there will be those who will keep the faith, who will enter into the promised land, who will enter into the glory of God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in giving good things to his children. For you shall see this come in the days ahead, but you will know to this day that I have already declared it, and I am already bringing you out to bring you in, declares God. Hallelujah.
I am on. It's good to be on, praise God. It's actually good to see other faces other than my wife, and that's not a knock. Because she has the most beautiful face there is other than Jesus. And the Bible does say, with unmasked face, we behold him. It does. Hallelujah. I was thinking about, you know, we do a lot of thinking, and that sometimes gets us in trouble. But if you've got your Bibles, go to Psalm 42. I'm going to eventually meet you there. But I was thinking about growing up again in the 60s. Unfortunately, we're old. You know, vintage people, I would like to say that. Not antique, just vintage. Yes. And I remember growing up in New York and actually being invited to go to a major party called Woodstock. You know? And what I did not know at that time was the world was experiencing, the United States was experiencing a pandemic. And actually, it ended up killing about 100,000 people, and yet the population at that time in America was about half of what it is today. That would be about 200,000 people in Americans died of the pandemic. And what did my group of people do? They threw the largest party ever. Come on now. They threw the largest party ever. You know? And, you know, I ended up not going because I was a drinker, but I hated drugs. Hated them. Never was a drug user, but I was a heavy drinker before I received Christ. But it was almost like that. I always drew a line, so I actually didn't go to it. But I had a lot of friends that went there, and you know, none of them got sick. In fact, I was going to write in and say we should actually interview everybody that was at Woodstock. Because I never heard of anyone catching anything there. And maybe they should find out what drugs they used. A little humor here. But there is a spiritual point before that's over. Before I get into too much trouble. That honestly, how did God answer the pandemic? The Jesus movement hit right after the pandemic. There was a major move of the Spirit of God called the Jesus movement. See, God is the ultimate counterpuncher. Understand that. The enemy comes in, But like a flood, God answers. He's the ultimate counterpuncher. And I'm a believer in God that literally he has a punch left. Come on now. A knockout punch left. Come on. The enemy did not know what he was doing when he began to mess with this stuff. Some of you, it woke you up. You were just kind of, you know, going through life, and all of a sudden, it's like, man, none of the stuff I thought was important is important. Priorities changed. Well, I'm going to talk to you today. In fact, every service, you know, I ask God before every year, I said, what's my message for the year? What are you saying? And, you know, the Lord answered that by asking me a question. He said, what are you seeing? And I said, Lord, when I go fall asleep at night, when I wake up during the daytime, all I see is revival. All I see is revival. It's been going on for a while. And he said, you know, Jeremiah 1:11 said, what do you see, Jeremiah? And he mentioned what he saw. He said, you've seen well. I'm watching over that word to perform it. Because your word is always what you see. Come on. Because God marks you with a word. It's revelation. You know? And literally what I found out is God is beginning to mark us. Even Jesus, he only did what he saw the Father doing. That's John 5:19. He was limited to what he saw. And many of you, honestly, you've been limited by lack of vision. But God's about ready to bring revelation like never before. And he's going to add some puzzles, pieces to the puzzle that makes everything clear. Things are about ready to explode. Let's go to Psalm 42, verse 7. Because I'm going to be speaking on revival. That's the only thing I know what to speak on. You know, I believe, God, that something's about ready to transition. And I believe some of you today, even though I probably won't lay hands on people, God's going to lay his hand on you. You know, and you might as well have the biggest party ever, because I know a lot of people, a lot of drunks can't wait for the bar to open. Come on now. And they're not going there to drink a little. They're going there to get under the influence. And that's the way the church should be. Come on. I'm not here to have a little bit of God. In fact, honestly, there's been this struggle, this tension on the inside of me that I'm satisfied but not satisfied. You know, I don't want to be complaining in a sense. I'm very grateful for everything God's done for me. But there's a cry in my heart that there's more. That this is not all there is. I have not experienced all I'm supposed to experience in life. And Psalm 42, verse 7 says, deep calls in the deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. Deep calls in the deep. There's a call right now. And only the hungry will go deeper. Only those who want more will get it. This is not all there is. See, most of the charismatic church world settled for tongues, but the promise was for power. Think about that. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Now, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. And if you don't pray in the Spirit, before you leave here, you can. You probably should. But the bottom line is the promise was not just tongues. The promise was power. And power was such an amazing part of the New Testament's mentality, especially the Apostle Paul. Because you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he said, I've determined to know nothing among you. Verses 1 through 5. Except for Jesus Christ and him is crucified. He said, I was with you in much fear and trembling. Because I don't want your faith to rest on the wisdom of man. I want your faith to rest on the power of God. You know what the Spirit of God spoke to me? He said, I miss when you used to get nervous before you preach. He said, I miss those days. Now you're such an expert that you don't feel like you need me like you used to need me. You think you can do this apart from me, and that's a problem. That's why people don't pray. They think they can live apart from prayer, apart from God. The epitome of pride is prayerlessness. I can do this without you, God. And you can't. And, you know, even the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, I've heard about preachers and what they're preaching. I'm going to come and not examine their words. I'm going to examine their power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God's not a mere word. It's in power. I don't want to hear about what they're preaching. I want to see if there's a result. Come on. I don't want to hear about miracles. I want to see the miracles. I'm tired of us talking about something as though it's far off when he's right here. And when revival breaks out, actually just God becomes real. Come on. All of a sudden, we're not having a meeting about God. We're having a meeting with God. All of a sudden, you know, we realize he's God and we're not. That we're here for him. He's not, you know, we're not trying to get him to do as much for us as much as we're here for him. And that gives him access to do what he wants to do, which is good for us. I think about Jesus' life. Even in Jesus' life in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. But it says after the test, he came back in verse 14 in the power of the Spirit. And I'm here to say, I go to a lot of charismatic churches. Are they filled with the Spirit? Yes. Is there power? No. They have all the trappings. But they don't have the hunger factor that draws God. Because there's a hunger that draws the presence of God. Because Jesus shows up where he's celebrated, not where he's tolerated. And to the degree you want him is the degree he'll reveal himself. And he doesn't want to be part of your gods. He doesn't want you to have him as a part. He wants to be your life. That's what it's all about. People have heard me tell this story before, but I remember years ago I was at Oral Roberts University, and it was around Thanksgiving, and I love to eat. That's what I love to. I love to eat. I don't look like it as much as I used to, because now I only eat protein as a whole. But I, you know, my whole family's a bunch of little big people. You know, my dad was 5'5" by 5'5". He got, naturally, his mom was 5 foot by 5 foot. And I remember, you know, when I saw SpongeBob SquarePants, I knew it was part of my family. But our favorite holiday was Thanksgiving, because that's legalized gluttony. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? It's one day. The one time you don't even feel guilty at all. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to eat until you drop. Turn on the football game. Don't even see the game. You ate so much turkey. In fact, I preach in Colorado a huge Thanksgiving meal every year. They send it for the whole community. And I always preach on dreams. Because it's after the meal, we have the service. And they're all sleeping. So at least they're doing the word. Come on. But here I'm at Oral Roberts University, and God said, I don't want you to go home for Thanksgiving. I felt like saying, get thee behind me. So I said, and I started thinking about scriptures where I could disobey God. I thought one good one is, I said, Lord, the Bible says I need to obey my parents. And I believe as long as you live under the roof with your parents, you need to obey them. The moment you're no longer under the roof, you have to honor them. But I believe if you live under the roof, you should obey them. And so my dad had paid for the ticket for me to go home. So I said, the Bible says I have to obey him, so go well with me, God. It must be your will. So I called my dad, and this is what I said. I said, God spoke to me that I'm supposed to stay on the campus because he's got something for me. But Dad, if you want me home, if you love me, if you'd really miss me, you know, I have to obey you because the Bible says. And my dad got real spiritual and he said, if God spoke to you, what's the question? I said, oh, man. And I still remember eating Thanksgiving dinner out of a can in my room at ORU. Me and the 10 other foreign students. You know. And I remember I was so upset the next day. I went to the aerobic center to work out, pump some iron. And I'm pumping weights, and in walks Oral Roberts. Now, Oral never, ever, you never saw him on campus. Most people don't know, but Oral Roberts University has tunnels underneath every single building. And Oral would actually go under the tunnel, come up into the building he was going to, with security around him, because there were a lot of threats against his life. But this day, he had no security. And because there were only a few people on campus, he went to the aerobic center. And I'm lifting weights. He walks over to me. He said, son, do you mind if you... He said, you want to take a walk? He said, what's your name? I couldn't even remember. I was so nervous. I said, woo, 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 woo. He said, I used to be a stutterer. God healed me. So I finally said what my name was. He said, what are you called to do? I told him what I'm called to do. He said, do you mind if I share some secrets with you? Why don't you walk with me? And for the next 30 minutes, I had Oral Roberts sharing with me on how he prepped for meetings, the persecution you should expect, how he could tell if there was a demon in the room, you know. And my heart was on fire. It's like I was walking with Jesus himself. And I kept thinking, I'm so grateful I stayed. God set me up. Made no sense. Some of you right now, you're going through a time that makes no sense, and God's trying to set you up. But many times we get out of position so we don't get what we're supposed to get. And at the very end, he said, if you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. And he gave me a scripture, Luke 24:49. He said, see to it you don't leave Jerusalem till you're clothed with power from on high. He said, Woody, when I would do my healing crusades, there were times I'd be back there praying and I felt nothing. Couldn't sense any anointing at all. And I'd go out because there was pressure for me to come out. And he said, when I prayed for people, nothing happened. He said, other times I'd wait. And I knew there were times he waited for 3 hours. They sang for about 3 hours sometimes before he ever got on stage. But he said, when the Spirit of God came on me, it was just like Jesus himself. And he said, when I prayed for people, I had the same results Jesus did. He said, don't you try to do supernatural ministry in the natural. And I think it's, you know, the church has been so guilty. But I believe this is going to be a power outbreak time. So I started thinking about revival. I said, God, he said, number one, he said, you need to understand every one of you is carrying the next move of God. Because you have the kingdom of God within you. Come on. You are pregnant with the next move of God. You decide whether it gets released or not. Come on. You decide where miracles are going to take place. At least through your life. See, revival is not merely an event or a church service or a conference or a gathering. I always laugh when I see people say, yearly revival. It's on their sign. Revival meetings with so-and-so. And I said, no. Meetings with so-and-so. Because if, you know, you may even get stirred emotional, but if nothing changes, it wasn't revival. Come on. It was just another series of meetings that you can add to your list. When revival comes, it's his story, not yours. It makes history. See, revival's a fresh wind from heaven. Revival's a flood. It's an overwhelming. I don't think you can become an overcomer if you've never been overcome by God. It's a fire that cannot be quenched. It's God beginning to breathe on you, and you can't contain what he puts on the inside of you. Revival is not simply a season of spiritual activity. It's not. It's a massive outpouring. It's a massive outpouring. It changes everything. And I'm believing God, we're going to have a season of where God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. It's the glory of God in manifestation because you're believing. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. God just waiting for people that will believe him and act like his word is true. But it means we got to step out of fear back into faith. And whether you know it or not, this pandemic has been a fear pandemic. I'm not saying there's not some realities, but the realities have been so magnified beyond proportion because the very people magnifying this thing are minimizing God. Because they don't think God is essential. So they take God out of the equation, they call it science, and God calls it stupidity. Because a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And it's time the church speaks up against foolishness. And say, let God be God. You're not going to keep us huddled in fear. We're going to begin to come out in faith. You know, there's certain things that are prudent. There's other things that are total stupid. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's time to let go of stupid. See, revival is not even a time of visitation and back to business as normal. When revival comes, it's transformation that changes everything into reformation and redefines business as normal. And I believe it's time that we just begin to stand up and live up, speak up, come on, and expect God to be God. See, a couple of years ago, I got this text message on Facebook, and it was from an elder in Georgia. And I'll never forget that, and I share a lot of stories over and over, but it's one that he said, "You ruined my son's life 20 years ago." And I didn't know if I wanted to read on. And he began to share with me, he said, "You prophesied over my son over 20 years ago. And he said, you said he had over 1 million souls in him. He was a 7-year-old boy." And I remember that service so strongly because he began to weep uncontrollably, the little boy. And I had never prophesied anyone was going to win over 1 million souls. And I began to prophesy that he was going to preach in every continent in the world. And this man wrote to me. I hadn't seen him or talked to him since. He said, "You ruined my son's life for everything but world evangelism." That day, he said, God set them apart. Set them ablaze. And he shared a video. So I played the video, and it's this young man preaching in Pakistan in front of 150,000 people. In that particular service, 75,000 Pakistanians received Christ. He said, you kind of missed it because you said he'd win over 1 million. He's already won over 3 million souls to the Lord. But he has preached in every continent. And he said, that day changed his life forever. And all of us need those type of encounters. We need those type of encounters when we are forever different, forever changed. With the presence of God, just like Isaiah, I'm ruined. The glory of God comes in, and he, in the midst of the glory, he said, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, because the moment God touches you, one of the first areas he deals with is your speech. Because he's redefining you, and he wants to see if you get in agreement with the redefinition. Come on. He's introducing you to you in his glory. And those that accept that, in basically accept what God says about them, make history. Because without the glory of God, there is no history. Not his story, at least. This makes sense. I want you to see this. Revival at its very core is the dynamic demonstration of Christianity, of us and God working together. That the same thing that Jesus said, the works he does, we shall be doing also, and even greater works. What would happen if we actually believed we could do what Jesus did? Peter did. I love Peter. Peter's my favorite disciple of all time is Peter, because I'm like Peter. I got big mouth. I get in trouble a lot. I like to fight, cut off the dude's ear. Come on. I like having the laugh. I can be brilliant at times. Some of you look at me, I don't know. No, I really. But then the next words out my mouth, kind of like Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, upon this rock I'll build the church. You are Peter. Peter was on a roll, so he kept talking. Jesus shares how he's about ready to die. Peter rebukes him, said, no, Lord. I mean, in the same sentence, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Welcome to my life. And you see Peter, you know Peter and John probably didn't like each other much. Because John walked around saying, I'm the disciple who Jesus loves. That would make me want to smack him. Come on. So Peter was a whole different breed. But I love the time when Jesus is walking on the water. Huge storm going on, by the way. And Peter recognizes him. And the first thing that went through his mind is, we're rowing gain nowhere. Here you're just walking. I'm tired of rowing. I want to do some walking. Come on now. Some of you are going to finally get tired of rowing and want to do some walking. Come on. Jesus was on the water. So what does Peter say? Lord, if it's you, what was he going to say? Not me. Bid me come. He just needed God's permission to do what he did. He could always do what Jesus did as long as Jesus gave him permission. So give me permission. Give me your word on it. Now you got to understand something. When Jesus said come, he didn't say come, Peter. There are 11 other disciples in the boat. I guarantee when Jesus said come, he expected all of them to leave the boat and get on the water. And be right now, I'm being honest with you, Jesus is on the water. You can't stay in that boat. It's a new day. And that boat is not going anywhere until we get Jesus in the boat. And Jesus not come on a boat until some disciple gets out and invites him in. Come on. Does this make sense? There's a revival. We say it's not hype. True revival is not hype. It's the Holy Ghost coming on flesh and covering flesh. I asked God, I said, how can you come back for a church without spot or wrinkle? He said, because all the flesh will be covered. In Ezekiel 39:29, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel so they can see my face. You really can't see the face of God without an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals. Come on. Let's invite that revelation. See, revival involves a divine visitation of God's manifest presence that produces a sustained habitation of His glory. My son's church has been in revival now for almost 2 years. It's been amazing. During lockdown, they've been averaging 150 first-time decisions for Christ. During lockdown. Because they're putting out the gospel every way possible. You can't lock God up. And I remember going there, and many of you have heard it, but I was so amazed at the fire. I mean, you get on the place, you can feel the presence of God hours before the services begin. It's almost like a manifest presence, and they don't even own that property. It's a Jewish, huge Jewish cultural center that they let the church use on Sunday. And yet you walk on that place, and you know, I said, what is that? You can feel it, so thick. So, I mean, I'm watching this thing, and I'm thinking, whoa, there's such a buzz in the air. And then I see the first song, everybody's in full force. And you got to understand, they normally have a couple hundred visitors every service. I'm watching the visitors just drawn right in. People have never been to church before, just drawn right in. I said, what is going on here? And I asked, I said, God, what's the answer? So I didn't listen, even though the preaching was great. It was good. But, you know, there are a lot of good preachers. But I went out to the foyer and I kept hearing this phrase. They would greet each other, we're all in. We're all in. I asked my son about it. He said, Daddy, that's the mantra. They said, that's how we greet each other. We're all in. You know, they've started 10 churches in 5 years because they're all in. They're now reaching several hundred thousand people a week worldwide because they're all in. They're a movement because they're all in. I begin to realize the problem with a lot of the churches, we're not all in. We're kind of in. You know, we're enough in where we're going to make it to heaven, but we're not all in to bring heaven to earth. Revival happens when people get all in, at least enough people get all in where it changes the momentum. Does this make sense? See, revival challenges the norm. It challenges it. Because God's doing a new thing, and be honest with you, when you begin operating in revival, the old thing don't like you. Because they've built up all these excuses all these years on why God can't do this. My son's pastor, you know, when he first got to town, he said it was him, his wife, his two little daughters. And he said he didn't even know why they invited him to a pastor's meeting because he really didn't have, his congregation was four. His family. He said, we doubled 1 week. Another family showed up. Then they left. So we were back. But he said he sat during the pastor's meeting. And every one of the pastors got up and shared how difficult that area was. It's Silicon Valley. You can't reach people on Silicon Valley. It's the devil's valley. It's this, it's that. It's the, you know, he's sitting there and he's trying not to say anything. In fact, he's determined. I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm going to get in trouble. He's a foreigner. He's from Australia. It's bad enough. So, I mean, he's going to stand out anyway once he opens his mouth. And finally they said, do you have anything to say? He looked at him. He said, boy, is this going to be easy for me. They stared at him. He said, since you're all cursing the ground, I guess it's all mine. He said, it's going to be the easiest things. He said, you may not like me for saying this. He said, they didn't. He said, within a few years, you're going to come to my church, you're going to ask me how I'm doing what I'm doing. They thought he was arrogant. Until 2 years later, or 3 years later, when they all were at his doorstep, at least the ones that weren't too proud, so how are you doing it? Well, he had a different model. See, old wineskins will not yield. They will not yield. They will not yield. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I hate the word new norm because the new norm is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the new norm. I don't like that. But there are things that we have learned during this time that we can add to our arsenal. Come on now. And then we can stretch ourselves and actually have a little bit more rivers flowing. Does this make sense? I believe we must begin to realize that, let's not be the old wineskins that are destroyed by the next move of God. Let's be the renewed wineskins that stretch with God and begin to flow with God and begin to be able to embrace every generation and every expression that's true to God. Come on now, without compromise. But we have got to begin to realize revival is a lot bigger than we are, and it's not us four no more. Revival compels you to be hungrier than your history. To be hungrier than your history so you can fulfill your destiny. See, revival is continuous flow of the Spirit of God. See, we are the Ezekiel 47 river. We are now. See, God said, I'm going to create rivers in the desert. Who do you think are carrying them? People read that and say, well, God's going to do it. No. He's putting in you, and you're going to release it. We are everywhere the river flows, there's life. And the river flows out of the temple. And the temple door it flows out of is eastward, which means the sun rises in the east. So it's those who are seeing a new day that are going to flow. Come on. I don't want to be stuck. And I don't want to get old. Not old in my thinking. See, revival is normal, supernatural Christianity. In fact, revival is not the best. God has to revive us so we can have the best. Repent, return, so the presence of God will come in thick. Come on. We can get back to what it's all about. It shakes families. It shakes regions. It helps us to flow. See, how many of you understand God wants to bring us back to take us forward? See, revival summons backsliders. I'm seeing such a phenomenon now of people who you would not be expecting to be in the forefront of what God's doing. I mean, I turn on these things and people that a year ago were known for their sin are now leading meetings known for their righteousness. And they're, you know, I mean, I go from channel to channel. Turn on Hillsong, and there's Justin Bieber leading worship. Well, he still has some problems. Guess what? God's going to use people with problems. He's going to use imperfect people that eventually are trying to yield their gift. They may not get it all right, but have you ever noticed the experts are all the ones that are the judges? That's not the way we do it. That's not the way we do it. You need to use wisdom. Have you ever noticed all those people have dead wisdom? Dead wisdom. Dead wisdom. I used to have people say, that's not the way you're supposed to witness. I said, well, how do you witness? Then I feel like saying, Jen, shut up. Don't you tell me I'm not doing it right. Let's go out together and you can show me how it's done. Come on. It bugs me to see these armchair quarterbacks criticizing a young guy running on the field. They haven't run in years. In fact, even when they were young, they didn't run that well. Come on. Does this make sense? God's about ready to blow this thing wide open. And it's going to be like, you know, when Jesus prayed for Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And guess what? You're going to mess up, dude. He said, I'm not praying that your actions won't fail. Because they're going to. I already told you you're going to deny me. He said, I'm praying that your faith won't fail. That even when you go totally stupid, and you will, Peter, when you return, strengthen the brethren. You're going to make a comeback, Peter. Come on. And it's going to be a really, you're going to mess up, and then you're going to be set up. And guess who's going to preach in Pentecost? The cussing preacher. Christ-denying cussing preacher. 50 days before. Now, on the day of Pentecost, who's preaching? That's not an excuse to go out and do that stuff, by the way. Well, the bottom line is, it doesn't totally disqualify you, so stop it. And, you know, we need to begin to pray because the backsliders, some of them, God's not going to bring them back. They're going to lead this thing. See, literally, we are going to shake the gates of hell. Come on. We're going to turn the world upside down. We are going to get so ridiculously violent in the spirit. Aggressive. I don't know about you. I'm ready for that. See, I found out so many people are waiting for God to send revival, and God's waiting for us to release it. Because he lives in us. He just says, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. Will you let me out? He's waiting for a whole group of people to say amen to what he already said yes to in heaven. People who want more. I want more, man. I want more. I want more. I want to see this thing. You know, our church in Tulsa, we are primed for revival. Some of you have seen some of my little things because we switched on over, been working with them. We got the drive-in, one of the most famous, iconic drive-ins in the country during this lockdown. And we were beginning to fill it with cars. It's so neat. Every time you make a good point, they'd honk their horn. At the very end, we would give invitations for people to receive Christ. And if they did, they had to turn on their emergency lights. Yeah. If we had, I always said if we had a Holy Ghost breakout, we probably would have had like a road rally. But We weren't limited. We're not going to be limited anymore. Come on. We're about ready to release God on this scene. Are you about ready to have a move of God? How many of you understand God is not? He's just waiting for us to believe that what is done so we can do it. That it's finished. We're not trying to get God to heal anybody. He's healed them 2,000 years ago. We're trying to get people to receive what he's done. Come on. You know, we're the branch office of the kingdom of God. Actually, you know, we are the branch office of heaven on earth. We can release it. We can open the gates so the King of Glory can come in. And so many people, they say, well, I'm praying for rain. It never stopped raining from the day of Pentecost. It never has. The day of Pentecost was a new, totally shift into a season where no more dry seasons. People don't believe that, but it was. It's been raining ever since. But many people aren't positioned. So we're begging for God to do what he's already done. And it's costing valuable time. I'll be honest with you. All you got to do, you get right under the glory spout right now. He'll flood you. It's a whole different time frame. It just makes sense. I asked God, I said, God, if you've already done everything, why can we ask for more? Because he said, when you ask for more, you're not actually getting more. What you're getting is more revelation of what's already yours. More revelation of what's available to you. See, I asked God, I said, God, is it wrong for me to ask for more? He said, you remember growing up, and my family loves to eat. We established that fact earlier. And to be honest with you, when my mom cooked once a week, it took away her appetite because she couldn't cook. My dad, I'll never forget my dad. My dad was such a good father. He would tell us, don't eat it. Don't eat it. You know, he said, your mom's going to get up. She always gets up about the same time. Pretend you're eating. As soon as she gets up from the table, we'll run it and put it in the trash can. Don't ask for seconds. I remember one time I was dumb enough to feed the dog. Some of you have heard the true story. Dog died. Ate my mom's cooking, killed it. I was 7 years old. I probably should just go get counseling again. But, you know, the other 6 days a week, we had a world-class chef that actually, you know, because we're a wealthy family. And you talk about food, man. Oh. And I never remember eating just one portion of anything that person cooked. And I would always be polite because my parents might taught me to be. But I said, can I have more? That's great. Can I have more? Can I have more? And that's what God says. God says, my people are settling for a smaller portion than I have for them. They're settling. I mean, they're tasting and it's good, but they don't want any more. He said, you're not going to offend me by asking for more. I expect you to ask for more. In fact, I expect you to be hungry for more. I mean, how many of you today, you just want more? You say, God, I want more. I want more of your presence. I want more of your manifest power. I want to be used by you more. God, I want to be more fruitful. I want to influence more people. I want to experience you even more. I love you, but I want, you know. In healthy marriages, it's that way. You love, but then you love more. Come on. You know, unhealthy marriages, people grow apart. In healthy marriages, they just grow even further together. And be honest with you, that's the way it should be with God, because we, you know, He wants us. He wants to reveal things about Himself to us that we haven't experienced yet. He also wants to introduce us to us, because there's parts of us we don't even know. And apart from Him, we'll never know it. And God wants to renew every one of us, and He wants to use you, because honestly, the only reason you're on earth is you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. There's no reason for you to stay here if you're not influencing people. Because heaven's a whole lot nicer. So the whole reason for you being here is the way you influence others. For no reason. And once you understand that, and you carry and you let your light shine, you begin to become so contagious. I don't know about you, I want to see this year count in our lives and through our lives. I want to see. You know, the thing that turns me on is it's like the testimony of that little that I got from George. I thank God you allowed me to be a part of making history. And God, you increased my influence way beyond my influence. Just because of one moment, and I got a chance to participate. I can't help it. You were created on purpose. How many of you today just say, man, just light me up, God? How many of you say, God, I want to get all in. I want to get all in. I want to get all in. God, there's areas of my life that you're going to have to work in me to want it. I mean, there's things in my life I want, and He knows it, and there's areas of my life I should want. He also knows I need a whole lot more grace. So I say, God, I know this is what I should want. I'm not there yet. But I'm presenting myself to you. I'm giving you access to change my want to, because what I've found out in my life is I don't do what I ought to do. I do what I want to do. And if God doesn't change my want to, I may do the right thing for a little while, but I won't continue to do it. So He's got to change at work in me both the will and to do. Both the will and to do. He has to change my want to. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And every one of us, we have areas God wants to change our want to's. Come on. And what we don't realize is when we change our want to, He elevates our life. So if you want prayer today, I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm socially distancing today. I don't know why. I'm trying to be biblically correct and a little bit politically correct when I can. It's really hard on me. You don't understand how hard this is on me. Come on. Some of you do. Because you're just that rebel at heart too. It's like, ah! In fact, I figure the moment, I'm surprised that more and more people, I guarantee you, California's probably going to have revival, because once the church stands up and says, we're open, you got all these rebels, oh, well, they closed our beaches, they closed our church, church must be like the beach, I'm going! Come on, let's surf His wave. But if you're all in, if you say, God, I want to be all in, I want you to stand where you are. If you say, God, light me up, light me up, light me up, light me up, use me, God, use me, God. You don't have to be something you're not, but you can be fully alive. God is about ready to change everything. Doors that have been shut are about ready to be open. Healing's about ready to flow. The anointing of God is flowing through you. Many of you, you're going to find expressions you didn't even know about before. It's your day now. We're reclaiming this nation for God. We're calling, God, give us our heathen. Some of you right now, you are catching a breakthrough in your spirit. God's going to give you creative ideas and dreams and visions during this time. Downloads for heaven. Downloads from heaven to bring heaven to earth. Downloads from heaven. My son came to me about 9 months ago with an idea. Told me what it was. It involved paying off millions and millions of dollars worth of medical debt for people. In December, their church paid off all the medical debt within a 15-mile radius. You got to understand, this is a highly populated area in California. And they were able to send a letter from the church that said, we just care about you, you're debt-free. The next week, I forget how many families, but a huge number of families showed up for the first time. And when the altar call came, they were all there. It came from a download. It came from an idea. I believe God's going to give us downloads in every area, every area, every area, every area we care about. Come on. See, you're not going to be able to see in someone else's realm, but you can see in your realm. Every one of you have different expertises. You have different desires that God actually planted the hunger in you before the foundation of the world. And usually your harvest is tied to your hunger. Come on. And there's a flow of God that's going to come. Some of you are going to catch a healing. Some of you catch a second wave. Some of you just going, all of a sudden you get reignited with purpose. Some of you, God's going to download information about your kids and your grandkids and things you can begin to prophesy to their future. Come on. Speak to their destiny. You can become a prophetic voice without being weird. You don't have to be totally spooky, scary. But God's about ready to make a way where there is no way. And things that have been locked up are going to be opened up. And many of you, one season is closing, but the next season is opening. Come on now. Instead of looking what's behind you, why don't you look in front of you? Because the best days are yet ahead. Come on. We are beginning to enter into a move of God that everything is being quickened. And everything is coming to light, and we're going to see things move at the speed of light. Come on. Where things that used to take years can be accomplished in moments. What we've seen in my son's church that's in revival is everything's being multiplied exponentially. They're breaking barrier after barrier after barrier after barrier that's been up for a long time. And you know, and the pastor will say, we're just making history. It's something he wanted written. In fact, he wrote it before the foundation of the world. He was just waiting for somebody on earth that would actually cooperate so the story could be manifest here. So God, I'm asking for such a fresh move of the Spirit of God like never before. Some of you need to take a drink. Some of you need God to just ignite your passion. Come on. Many times he'll put the super on your natural. It's a norm. Sometimes it's a natural interest that God actually will anoint so you can reach people with the same interest that don't know God. Come on. God will give you favor. God will give you favor. He'll place you in places. And don't be shocked when God puts you between a rock and a hard place to save the rock and save the hard place. I mean, he dropped my son in one of the most liberal places in the world. It was a place where people were saying for years it couldn't be done, it couldn't be reached. Now they're being reached. Not just because of him, but God was orchestrating things. He was people like him, like his pastor, like him, of like mind with God. God's about ready. How many of you are catching this right now? Some of you are catching the healing right now. Some of you are catching the freedom right now. Some of you, young, it's about ready. You're about ready to get your life back, get your health back, get your strength back. You know, God told me the other day, he said, this is like a country music song in reverse. You're getting everything back now. You're getting everything back now. Back now. Now, some things you may not want back, but you're getting everything back now. Come on. God's about ready. He's quickening everything. His kingdom is coming. Things are being restored. Literally, what the enemy has dug ditches. And the very people digging them are going to end up being buried in them. And the millstone that they were trying to put around our neck is going to be the stepping stone for the glory of God. I want you to have that Holy Ghost revival fire like never before. Expect open doors. Expect open doors. Expect. I ask God, and I'm going to hand it back in one more second. I said, God, what is the key to reopening this nation? He said, the key of David. He said, the key of David opens doors no one can shut and shuts doors no one can open. So I said, Lord, I know. I said, what is the key of David? He said, it's twofold. He said, one, it's praise and worship. You have to rebuild the tabernacle of David. And he said, you honestly, these two keys go together. And he said, the other one is relationship with me, prayer. So you don't live by formula. You live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth and you stay current. He says it's a two-sided key that will open this nation back, because we start praising God enough, he changes the atmosphere. And if we start praying the way we're supposed to pray, God heals the land. So the whole key has already been given to us. You know why my son's church is doing what they're doing? Their praise and worship is off the charts in the presence of God, supercharged. It's almost like God's always waiting for them to show up. He probably visits every house individually, and then when they come corporately, he says, now we're really going party. We are really going to party. And you know what they're getting? I remember at Woodstock, a lot of people probably got high, but they're getting the most high. Joey's church. I'm sure people at Woodstock, they took enough drugs, they saw things. You get to his church, all of a sudden you get in the sanctuary, and you're sniffing it, it's in the atmosphere, and all of a sudden you start seeing things. Changes your life forever. How many of you say, man, fire me up, God. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. God, I don't want to live for me, because I'm so much happier living my life honestly for God and for my purpose on earth to bless others. He's blessed me to make me a blessing. And as long as I'm using what he blessed me with, he keeps giving me more. This week, you guys are going to be so revived. God's going to begin to heal relationships. He's about ready to take situations and turn them for your good. You're going to watch the hand of God take what was meant for evil and work it for good. You're going to see God make a way where there is no way. I asked God about it. I said, Lord, this is like the roaring 20s. He said, yeah, it is. He said, but it's in reverse. He said the Roaring Twenties started off with everything flourishing. And then there was a collapse. He said this is the reverse of the Roaring Twenties. He said it's starting off with a collapse. But there's going to be a season where things are going to begin to flourish. I believe that. So that's what I got. I'm going to get out of the way because I can do this forever with someone, and that's a threat.
Did you get something? Praise God. House on fire. House on fire. That's what we want to be. John Wesley always said, if you set yourself on fire, others will come and just watch you burn. You know, people are wanting to see reality. And we want to see God's reality in us. Amen. We want to see it, experience it, not just hear about it. And I forget who it was. He said, Lord, I'm tired. It was one of the prophets. Lord, I'm tired of hearing about what you used to do. I want to see you do it in my day. I want to see it in my time, my lifetime, not just back then, but I want to see it now. Heavenly Father, we receive the word of God. We receive, Father, what you have already done. Lord, I pray for our eyes to see it, in us, God, to have that revival within us, to see your word at work in us, that word would manifest through us, Father, that you would always lead us in triumph. And Father, that you would display your fragrance in us in every place we go. Father, we receive this. Lord, we release it in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you tonight, 6 o'clock. Be here. The old saying is be here or be square. For visiting the olden days.